It's time for another episode of Sink or Swim, the podcast that helps you keep afloat in the sea of business marketing options. Learn what other business owners are doing to keep their businesses thriving and growing, and what almost sunk their ship. Join the voyage as Red Canoe Media owner Will Hanke and his daughter Amber wade through the waters to get you the booty you deserve. Wow, that was a lot of nautical references in three sentences.
Well, hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Sink or Swim. My name's Will Hanke. Today with me, as always, is my beautiful daughter Amber. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. So, what's the latest in your world? I think we hooked ourselves up with some award recently.
Yep, best marketing firm of 2018.
Yeah, top marketing firm in St. Louis. That's pretty awesome.
Yep.
And that was from the St. Louis Small Business Monthly. So no small award. Very nice. We're happy to have it. And keeps those paychecks coming in for you, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's good, right?
Yep.
So every little thing helps, I guess, when it comes to that, right? So, well, we've got a great show today. Something that I'm excited about. And that's surround coding and writing code. And Amber, you might not know it, but at one time when we used to build web pages, we actually had to sit down and write code to build some of these very generic things.
Yeah, in one of my classes, we had to write code.
Oh, did you really? Mm-hmm. HTML or yep. What? Oh, okay. Yep. Oh, good. Well, it's advanced quite a lot since yeah. Then. There's still a lot of need for coding out there, and we're going to find a little bit more about that today. Our guest is Elaine Queetham. She's a native of St. Louis and the CEO and founder of Savvy Coders. Oh, see how that tied in there? Elaine has been involved with technology her entire life, but when she worked for a small software technology firm in 2009, she became acutely aware of the shortage of qualified programming resources, which are essential for a small company to grow and thrive. In 2015, she founded Savvy Coders to help people who have been typically underrepresented in IT to develop those important and sought after skills. To date, Savvy Coders has graduated over 100 students. Elaine received her undergraduate degree from UMSL. Hey, you went there, didn't you?
Yep.
And her MBA from Webster University. So Elaine, thank you for being on the show today.
You're very welcome. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. And so you filled out our little podcast form a while ago. And at the time, your bio said has graduated over 100 students. Has that number changed?
Yes, we're now at over 150 students.
Awesome.
Wow.
That's fantastic. Yep. So why don't you go ahead and give us the company name, which we know, and the 2-minute elevator pitch about your business?
Yeah, so Savvy Coders is really trying to change the face of IT. And we're doing that through reaching typically underrepresented communities in IT, especially in the St. Louis market, but also in the Chattanooga and Nashua markets, because we believe that everyone should learn to code. These are skills that are not going away. The need for them is going to continue to rise. And we believe that there is talent, technology and tech talent sort of within everyone. It's just a matter of finding a way forward and bringing that pathway to folks that never considered it as either something they want to just get more involved in for their own personal knowledge, or for those who really want to do a career change or pursue a career in IT.
Awesome. And what is the average age of your students coming through your program?
You know, we have partnered with the St. Louis Agency on Training and Employment, otherwise known as SLATE. And we are very fortunate and very grateful for the partnership because they are part of a larger endeavor. They have a tech hire grant, and that grant reaches takes care of sponsoring folks who are between the ages of 17 to 29. So we've had a really great response for the past year with that partnership, but we've had students as young as juniors in high school, and we've had career changers that have been in their late 40s, early 50s. So
got it.
There's no real typical age, I think. A lot of people make the mistake that this could be something just for the younger generation. And I don't think that has to be the case at all. I was having a conversation last week with someone who was adamant about going after the, you know, the 60 plus market, because there are folks that have time and could be making a difference with their ability to code. But again, nobody's tapping on their shoulder saying, come on, join this new crusade.
Right. They all got tapped on the shoulder in 1999 when they still knew COBOL and some of those languages that went before the end of the world happened in Y2K.
Well, and then there was the great, tech boom and bust. So
Right. So let me ask you this. How about younger kids? I've got a friend who takes his kids to classes related to, I think, Python. And I want to say they're like 9, 11, 12, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, there's definitely an argument and a case for bringing these skills to the younger folks. We do have a Savvy Kids program that we have run. It's a whole nother line of business I've discovered. And since we've been so occupied with the adult training, I really haven't spent much time fostering the Savvy Kids program. But and a lot of it has to do with, you can't really get into schools because it's such a different curriculum and it changes all the time. So you have to almost offer it as an after-school program. And I can tell you, it competes heavily with sports. So it's just kind of trying to find that time of the year niche kind of program that I think would have great benefit to the youngsters. One of our advisory board members, Sharita Hagler, is on STEM STL, and they had their year-end wrap-up, I think it was last week, and they're very invested in the Biome School, which is a St. Louis public school middle school. And, it's happening. It's not happening nearly in as much of a broad brush stroke, comprehensively in our metropolitan area, but it is happening. And I definitely think there's a time for it, a place for it. You have to find the next thing to keep the kids engaged and interested. And I think that's probably the challenge with, conventional educators is when it's such new material, by the time you get it past all of the rigmarole it has to go through to be sanctioned to actually be taught during the day in the school environment, it's changed again. So that's kind of a challenge that I think needs some attention and ultimately, hopefully, will be overcome.
So Elaine, how many employees do you have and are you doing this full time?
I am doing it full time. I've been doing it full time since the summer of 2015. And we just brought on our first employee actually last week. She's our social media marketing manager. And just yesterday, I hired I'm calling that person a mini me in our Nashville market. Mm-hmm. Other than that, our instructors are all, part-time contractors. Again, we don't want to dictate to them, what they teach. We have a curriculum that's laid out, but we want them to bring their expertise into the classroom when they teach. So they're much more of a consultant than a full-time kind of person.
What got you into the coding business?
Well, sort of the story that Will opened with, I was in sales and business development for a small firm, and we couldn't hire enough people so that we had new functionality to sell. And furthermore, we were having a hard time meeting our release dates, which meant that the functionality we were promising, we couldn't keep up with. And we were small. So for us to pay a recruiting firm a fee of, 18 to 25% per person acquired was just, it was very expensive. And in 2009, I didn't have the ability to do anything about it. It was just sort of note to self, this is a problem. And it's probably not going to be solved through our conventional education system. But I paid attention. And ultimately, I saw boot camps popping up on East Coast, West Coast. And I'm like, wonder what's going on here. And, they're intensive, learning experiences. And they started to take off and take hold. And not all of them have succeeded. I think it definitely was an offering that folks thought, yeah, I can go out and I can get 10 people and I can charge them all 15 grand and I can make a boatload of money. And it's just, it's a lot more complicated than that if you really, really want to serve your students and serve the, you know, whatever major metropolitan area you're offering that that education experience to. It's something that I think should be rooted in the community. Employers need to be supporting it. My referral network in St. Louis is just amazing. I have former students recommending people. I have just folks that know about us. I have grandmas talking about their grandkids and moms saying, my son needs to take this. And it's catching on because I think people realize that these skills are really, they're needed skills and they're attainable through what we are able to offer.
Elaine, is your target market specifically the St. Louis area?
Well, we're, you know, kind of, we've had students from Illinois. We've had students from, you know, Washington, Missouri, you know, Franklin County. We're trying to always get information to the workforce centers because there are a number of people that can get sponsored through our program. If they're not 17 to 29, they can be sponsored by the Workforce Investment Opportunity Act. That is great for people that have had just this chasm in their employment because either they were laid off or they have skills and they were laid off that are obsolete. People that are programming switches for telephones, a lot of the help desk support is, you know, it ramps up and then it ramps down. Coding is something that's not going to have a ramp up and a ramp down period. It's going to continue to be necessary and needed.
Okay. So as you know, this is a marketing podcast. So let's chat a little bit about marketing. When you first started in 2015 and opened your doors, did you have a marketing plan?
Not a good one. who starts out with a great marketing plan? On, I think we decided that in order for people to take us seriously, they're going to have to understand what we're able to offer. So kind of right out of the gate, we formed a meetup group and we started hosting events. And they were different kinds of events. It was the same event, but we branded it differently. Like, HR 101, Recruiters Want You. We did, Want to Learn to Code. This event is for you. Now we totally brand it as Crash Course Learn JavaScript because people know JavaScript. And when we say Crash Course, they know that in a short amount of time, 90 minutes, they're going to get some information that they didn't have before. So those that we used to call them intro sessions, now we call them class previews because it's exactly what it is. It's a preview into our 10-week class.
Okay.
So there's no more, we're not trying to, we want to be very straightforward with what it is that we're offering. And we began, I said, with the meetup group, then we always put an event on Eventbrite. And slowly but surely, we've built up a following on Facebook and we're now paying for Facebook, ads and boosts. And we just started an Instagram, effort. It's hard to take pictures that are interesting for people that are coding. I mean, it's just like, okay, so we have to get creative about how we, position people and what they say and what we're trying to attract them to do. In May of 2017, I hired a marketing firm. We totally redid the website. I learned about how to get people to link to the website. I learned all about search and Google. And I know that through our social media and our once a month class previews, we are promoting what we do. We're getting awareness out there. But I also know that if you don't have good search, when they go to look for you, if they can't find you, that's not good. So we now have a marketing firm and a PR firm, and I can tell you it's helping.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I think Meetup is a fantastic way to get your business started. I mean, and it's also a great way just to test the temperature and see who's even interested, if anyone.
Yeah, I mean, I would have failed on the marketing plan totally because I didn't have a great plan to do focus groups. I should have. the meetups and the previews and the intro sessions really became a place where we got a lot of information. And we were smart enough to do a little survey early on. So, you know, not everybody wants to give you information if they're just going to a casual meetup. But we put it out there, you know, we just asked them to go to this link and, you know, there were maybe 10 or 12 questions. You know, we wanted to know if they were college graduates, and if they were, what they major in. We wanted to know why they wanted to come to this event. You know, what are you curious about? We wanted to know if they've been to any other boot camps. We wanted to know what they used on social media. And so I have 500 of those responses in a type form database. So I have a lot of, I have a lot of intel. So yeah.
Nice. Did you charge for the meetups or were they free?
No, they're totally free.
Totally free. Okay.
So what was your first marketing win, and did you do it on purpose or was it something you stumbled upon?
I guess marketing win, I mean, there's a couple of ways to answer that. You know, is it engagement on Facebook? Is it how much somebody likes something? Is it, you know, one of my, something I'm pretty proud of is getting almost 9,000 views on a post on LinkedIn of one of our graduating classes. That was pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
That was very intentional. I mean, it's like, yeah, we got to say something about this. You know, I think when we filled our first class, I mean, when we maxed out our class size of 15, which just happened this current cohort, I think that for me is a marketing win. Now we have 22 people really looking to fill 15 spots in January, and we're having another class preview tonight. So we'll get even more people that are interested in. And then we'll be able to build kind of a waiting list in as much as people will wait. You know, the next class after January will be April. And maybe in a year from now, we'll have two classes of 15, because maybe there'll be that much demand.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, exciting.
It is.
So Elaine, you kind of mentioned that you had a marketing firm in place and you guys are doing some Facebook type ads. Tell us a little bit about what kind of outgoing ads you're doing.
So there's kind of there's like three prongs to that. One is, and these are not ads, these are just posts. We just want to post relevant things in technology, coding, or tech, so that the people that are liking us on Facebook, you know, value what we have to say. The second is promoting the things that are coming up, like a class preview. This current cohort will have their demo day on January 22nd. So we'll be all about posting that. We'll be posting that the next class begins in April, and we'll, you know, be boosting the class preview in February and March, et cetera. And then the third thing that we do is we tell stories about our graduates. We'll have a photograph and then a quote from them. And those seem to get a lot of, you know, a lot of attention because it's personal.
Yeah. Do you typically post those out on Facebook and then boost them or anything like that? Uh-huh. Or is it purely organic?
No, we boost them.
Okay, good. What about SEO? You mentioned that you guys at least did some research on search, and I'm assuming you got title tags and things in the right place and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so we do spend about $650 on Google AdWords a month. Sometimes it reaches that, sometimes it doesn't. And we're always looking at, you know, what words are, you know, working. So we try to review that every other month and make adjustments.
Okay. Are you guys doing any blogging?
We started doing some way back in the early days, and we need to revive that now that we've got a team member dedicated to just social media marketing. I just sent her a note this morning asking if we could get some things planned so that we can do that.
Yeah. It's funny. Amber and I were looking at a couple websites earlier today, and we were judging them by the last time they blogged. One of the companies was like 2013 or something.
Yeah, it was hot and then it wasn't hot. And it's like anything else. You got to keep at it. Otherwise you don't build, you know, you don't build upon it.
Right.
What offline marketing efforts are working for you right now?
Help me with what you mean by offline.
TV, radio, billboards, anything that's not digital, I guess.
Yeah, not doing anything that's not digital.
Networking. I've seen you at a couple networking events.
Yeah, so networking. Totally. We do flyers. I mean, a lot of our partners that refer people to us, you know, want a flyer to hand out. So we do some of that.
Okay. How much time do you think per week you spend specifically on marketing for your business? And this answer might change since you just hired a social media person. So
yeah, I mean, did you mean the firm or you mean me?
Well, either one.
Yeah, I mean, I think we spend a good 30 hours on marketing a week.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
What marketing trends or tactics do you see other businesses doing that you wish you could take advantage of?
Well, we have a long list. You know, we really do want to fire up a good, robust Instagram, you know, campaign and get followers. And we also want to do some, want to buy some ads on YouTube, because I think that's another group that we want to reach. And if you think about the target that can get a scholarship from that tech hire grant being 17 to 29, you know, those folks are, they're all about looking for things on their devices. So we have to find ways to, you know, get in front of them.
Yep. I think Instagram's a good play. Amber installed a tool called Antisocial on your phone. And it monitors all your social media usage. And what did you tell me about Instagram?
That I spent 40 hours this past month just on Instagram.
And so what about the other tracking, networks?
It's tracking Amber's usage just as a person.
Yeah, so it is on my phone, and I tell it which apps to track and to see how much time I waste on them. And Instagram, of course, is the number one.
Wow. That's
crazy.
Yeah, it's sort of like back in the day, you know, they used to ask us how much time we spent watching TV.
Yeah.
That's the equivalent, I think.
Yep. So, Elaine, tell us about your competition. Is there any other companies in St. Louis doing that? Or you mentioned East Coast, West Coast.
There are boot camps all over. I guess I really don't see anybody as a competitor. I mean, I think there's more than enough need to go around. You know, the household name in St. Louis is Launch Code. And we're different from Launch Code in that we teach one thing, JavaScript. We are not trying to educate or graduate full stack developers. We are focused just on the front end. So, you know, our course is probably 100 hours in JavaScript, 10 hours in HTML5, and 10 hours in CSS3. And we're very much about quality over quantity. Our classes are small, 15 people, have an instructor, two teaching assistants. It's all in-person instruction. We don't send you away to watch a video. We're in the class with you. The first 7 weeks are our new instruction, and then the final 3 weeks we're getting you ready to be a job seeker, which is important. And we have a placement partner. NetFX is our placement partner. And they are an IT staffing recruiting company that's been around for a very long time. And they have great connections with companies that I used to dream about having connections with.
Right.
And we don't charge a placement fee. Launch Code charges a placement fee. So there's some, you know, I mean, like I said, there's enough. There's definitely enough to go around. We're just set up a little bit differently. And we're, you know, people ask me about my intentions to scale the business. And, you know, for me, I guess lifestyle business comes to mind. But I mean, I'm not going to grow this and sell it. I'm doing this. This is kind of, I've used my, you know, 35 years in the work world to arrive at a place where I can do my own thing. And I'm very content selecting markets I want to go into because I believe they can benefit from the services that we have. It's not because I have an exit in 7 years and I need to be, you know, I need to have 10,000 students or anything. So it's a different model, and it's a lot more fun.
Yep.
When you started Savvy Coders, what was your biggest challenge landing customers?
Landing customers, getting people to to say yes and commit to a time and a place and, you know, and pay for it.
What was your worst marketing idea? The one that almost sunk your ship?
Not doing anything.
Okay.
And if money were no object, what is the craziest marketing stunt you'd like to launch?
I don't know. I don't want it to be seen as a stunt. So I just want to make sure that the people that, like I said, could benefit from what we're doing find out about it. So, I mean, I've worked in the faith communities. I was asked by a pastor to be on stage with him at his church, you know, talking to the first service of 150 people and then the second service of almost 300 people. I didn't contrive that. I just told him what we did and he said, you must come. And I did. And that's the kind of marketing I want to do.
Awesome. So more of the grassroots type stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. And your classes are small. So, you know, and you've already said you had 22 people signed up for 15 slots.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's great. So, Elaine, tell us one last time how people could find out more about Savvy Coders. Where would they go? What is your phone number? That sort of stuff.
Sure. So you can always reach me at 314-283-0006. That is the company number and my cell phone number. You can join the St. Louis Savvy Coders meetup group. You can always visit our website, www.savvycoders.com.
Okay. And the meetup group, I'm assuming, is on meetup.com, correct?
It is. Uh-huh.
Okay. Excellent. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. We've learned lots of new things. Mm-hmm. Amber wants to go out and learn code now, right?
All right. Come to our meetup tonight or come to the next one in January.
We'll sign her up and get her out there doing some coding. So. That'd be fantastic.
There you go.
Well, thank you again. I appreciate it. And hope you have a great rest of your day. Everyone, thank you for listening and join us on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
You've been listening to the Sink or Swim podcast, where business owners share their marketing successes and failures. Please leave us a review on iTunes and get all of our show notes at redcanoemedia.com/SOS.